escaped from prison. Police are combing the area to find him. Well, it didn't even go over at all. I wondered why the baseball was getting closer and closer. And then it hit me. Did you hear about the guy who was addicted to the hokey pokey? Turned himself around. Okay, I'm going to quit. That's what happens when you don't check the joke list before you read them. Well, this morning, I just want to continue with just talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was wonderful and so much fun. And I have been thankful all week just seeing some of the young people last Sunday being touched by the Lord. Some older ones too. We weren't all left out. But it was exciting to me to see young people encountering him. Amen? And so I just want to continue on in that message and that theme, that heart this morning, because I really believe it's an important message for us to understand, or important theme, that we realize that the Lord has given us all that we need to succeed in walking out the calling and the life that he has for us. And he equips us and he calls us. He doesn't just leave us and say, hey, go figure this out. But he actually gives us the Holy Spirit, and he invites us to come and wait, just like Jesus said to his disciples, after they were saved. And I don't want to rehash all of it, but remember in John 20, he breathed resurrected life. The day he was resurrected, he breathed life into the disciples. That was the day of salvation, right? That was the moment of salvation. And then he said to them, go and wait for the Holy Spirit, because you'll be filled in a short time from now. He says that in Acts chapter 1. And you'll be filled and baptized to go and be my witnesses to all the world. Amen? And so it's a separate experience that we're invited into. It's a second work of grace that the Holy Spirit does for believers. All right, and it's to equip us, to fill us. And the real main thrust of it is that we go, that we actually are equipped to live the life of a Christian that we're called to. Amen? So we're not left alone. And we're not called to do something that we can't, because he actually gives us all that we need to do that. It talks about in 1st or 2nd Peter, I'm forgetting right now, but it says that we have access to that divine nature that enables us to live it out. We have all that we need to succeed in him. Amen? And so I'm just excited about that. You know, I just want to encourage all of you. I know there were several young people last week who were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. That was wonderful. And I just want to encourage you, whenever you receive a gift from the Lord, don't stop. I don't know how many people I've talked to before that said, yeah, I had this cool experience once 20 years ago, and I think I spoke in tongues. That's great. But it's supposed to be a language that we use. It's your prayer language for you to use. And it's incredibly important. And you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to come and say, that's gibberish. That's crazy. You're nuts. That wasn't real. All those kinds of things. Remember, we receive by faith. It's a gift that we receive. The exact same way that you engaged your faith to say yes to Jesus, to become a Christian, is the exact same way that we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us, to consume us, and to have his way in our lives. Amen? So sometimes we think, I didn't feel anything, or nothing happened. Yeah, we are going to partner with the Lord and in faith begin to step out. Amen? If I'm learning to play guitar, and I learn one note, then I learn another note, and then I learn another note, and then I just stop at three notes. You know, even this way, if I learn four chords, you know you can play a lot of songs with four chords? Like almost every Christian worship song, if you learn four chords, you can play in that key almost everything. So you don't even have to be that good of a guitar player to play almost every worship song we sing. Did you know that? But if you want to get like really, really, really good, you don't stop at four chords. You don't stop at four notes. You will never experience all there is to learn and play on the guitar if I stop at G, C, E minor, and D, okay? And it's the same thing with the gifts that the Lord gives us. We don't want to just stop. We don't want to check it off like a checklist. Like, yeah, I had a prophetic word once. Oh, yeah, I've spoken tongue once. That's wonderful. But it's not about a checklist for you. It's about how can you draw closer to God. He wants to use the things he gives you. He gives you gifts to use to bring other people to him. Amen? So we're called to be a good steward of those gifts. That's what I'm trying to say. And Jesus was the example for us. Everything we see Jesus do was a model. It was an example. It was an invitation for us to come to the Father, to come and walk the life that he did. Amen? He came as a man for us to show us the way, to show us what it means to live a life connected and filled with the Holy Spirit, being led, just like the Bible says in Romans, that those who are children of God were led by the Spirit are children of God. We are called to live a life of being led by the Spirit. Amen? And so it's incredibly important. And so Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit like he was in the Jordan River. If people like Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament and saw many miracles and things like that too, if he also said, I speak in tongues more than you all, he emphasized it was important. It was something that we should pursue. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, eagerly desire the gifts. So there's this invitation. Jesus told his followers, go and wait for this before you go into ministry. Go and wait to be filled. And I think there's an invitation to every single one of us that we should go to the Lord and say, would you fill me? And he doesn't, it says in Luke 11 that he's a good father. He's a good father who only gives good gifts to his children. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion. He's not going to surprise you with something junky. He has good things in store for you because he loves you. And he wants you to succeed in the life he's called us to. I think many times there's a trap in that. We think, I can't do it. It's impossible. God has just left me, and I said the prayer once, and I believe in him. But it's impossible to do, to be a good person, to live a holy life, to honor others and love others. It's just not doable. Well, yeah, it's not without him. But he wants to partner with us to see that happen. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, and he still is sending the Holy Spirit to fill us, to equip us, and encourage us to go. Are you with me? And so, last week we talked about how Jesus fulfilled the first three feasts in his coming, the way he died, the way he rose again. All that was fulfillment of some of the different feasts. And then there's a separation of 50 days before Pentecost. And again, it's a clear separation of the difference between there's salvation. Jesus came, fulfilled the first three feasts that in the Jewish culture. Then Pentecost came, and it was a separate outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming on us to equip us again to go and live a life in the spirit, not in the flesh. And then the other three feasts that we talked about, we're waiting to see what happens. That's the coming of Jesus. That's the return of the Lord and us spending time with him in eternity. And that's coming. But there's an invitation for us that those who follow Jesus, that your life will look something different because you are equipped and filled with him inside of you. Amen? It's amazing to me that the same spirit that entered Jesus then brought resurrection life to him, dwells in you and I. And he comes to set us free from bondage and slavery and addiction and all those types of things, to bring new life, to bring freedom, to bring an inheritance, to adopt us, to seal us as the fathers, to bring a life of victory. Someone should get excited about that. Like, we have all that we need. Amen? Do you want all that God has for you? Like, do you really want that? It's easy to say that, but do you really want all that he has for you? Do you want more than fire insurance? I pray to prayer. Do you trust that he is offering all that you need? We just have to open our heart and say, yes, Lord, take all of me. Have all of me. I want you. And you know what that means? It means saying no to some things that bring comfort and enjoyment to you. Because you have to put God as a priority in life. You have to make him first in your life, which means you have to say no sometimes to entertainment. You have to say no sometimes to whatever the kids want to be involved in, because there's many good things in life, but they can completely wipe out your time with the Lord. And so it has to take a priority. It means that sometimes you can't binge watch a show at night. It means that, you know what I'm saying? Like, God wants us, but we have to say yes to him. Yes, Paul, that's really good. Man, you guys are quiet this morning. Did you know that he values church as part of our growth? And I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here. But if you want to grow, God has created the church. It was his idea. We're called to be the bride of Christ. And so we need each other. He designed it that way. Again, the design is that we come to the Lord, that we have a personal relationship with him, and that we draw on each other, who sharpen one another, and we help each other grow. We're designed to be connected. We're designed to use the gifts that we have to grow together. And so if you're not in church very often, we miss you. Not just because you're amazing, but we actually miss all that you bring, because the Lord in you is unique, and he's different in me too. And we bring something to one another that encourages each other. God cares about the relationships that you're in. He cares about every friendship and marriage and your work relationships. He cares about it all because he didn't design us to be alone. Right? You're not called to be alone. You're not called to live this life alone. We're better together. We're better when we're united. We're better and stronger when we can sharpen each other and encourage one another. So we need each other. We need the church. We need Bible studies. We need friendships. We need relationships. It's how he's designed us to live. Remember all those one another verses like love one another, forgive one another? You can't do the one another's on your own. You need someone else to do the one another with. And so we need each other. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus, they're asking him about the kingdom. And I find it interesting, the first thing that Jesus says to them, he begins to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I know I might be jumping around a little bit this morning. It's because my train of thought was just finishing off what I was trying to say last week. But I really, really, really want to drive home the point that the Holy Spirit is a gift for you and I. And he's a gift that's given to every single believer. And it's not a spiritual badge or star that we wear, but he comes so that we can have personal relationship with God, so that we can be equipped to go and reach people for Jesus. Jesus' great commission to us was to go into the world and make disciples. And we can't do it without him. And I would propose to you that because the church is failing in so many ways at doing this, it's because we've tried to do it on our own and left the Holy Spirit behind many times. We're not created or called to be weak, powerless, or in lack. The vision and the call that God has for us, he gives us all that we need to do it. But we need him. And we need to get humble and surrendered enough to say, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this without you. And Holy Spirit, I don't have the ability to reach other people. And Holy Spirit, I cannot change that person's heart. But I pray that you will begin working on them and show me the time to speak up and bring and help me to be a witness, to bring hope and light to them. Amen? And so that is such an incredible key for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I don't know if you remember, we talked about this a number of weeks ago, but Paul talks about how Israel, when they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, and that was symbolized the blood of Jesus. They went through a baptism, going through that sea. It represented water baptism. And, you know, remember how they took the blood of a goat and they painted it over the doorway. And that was, that's why they celebrated Passover. The blood protected them from Jesus. And the blood of Jesus protects you and I today. Amen? It's what covers us and protects us. And he watches over us and it seals us for him. And so they go through this baptism through the Red Sea. Then they came to another body of water on their way to the Promised Land. And this water wasn't a still body like a sea, but it was a flowing river, right? And they crossed that river, and it is representative of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In John 7:37, it says the Holy Spirit is referred to as a river that will flow out of our belly. It's interesting, you know, I think two and a half tribes stayed behind on one side of the river, and the other nine and a half went across. And it's a picture, this is a picture of the kingdom that we are invited to take part in now. Jesus purposely used the word baptism, describing the Holy Spirit coming on us because it speaks of being immersed and submerged and soaked and doused and bathed in him. He's describing a full experience with the person of the Holy Spirit. It's got to go way beyond concept to a knowing, to a personally knowing him. I can tell you that everything has changed in me because of encounters I've had with his love and his peace and his goodness and his presence that no amount of knowledge could ever convince me otherwise. And so someone can come and argue with me and say, this can't be real and that can't be true. And there is literally not a thing in this world that will shake the faith I have in him because of what he's done in me. And so there's this river that they crossed, and it is a separation. But remember, Israel was commanded to live in unity, no matter what side of the river they were on. It's not the haves and the have-nots. It's one nation. And we have people that are gifted differently than us, and sometimes even people that believe differently. And it's not about us and them. It's about us as the body of Christ loving him together. But why? My question to all of us and all of any denomination would be, why don't we go after all that he has for us? You know that none of us, not a single denomination has it perfect. Right? Could I go there? We sometimes get so hung up on a lot of, well, it's always been this way. It's always been that way. And there's beautiful reason, like there's a lot of really good things and strengths in different denominations. They've come the way they have for a reason. But it doesn't mean that we all have it exactly perfect. We just do the best we can to honor him, to glorify him. But there are also strengths in many of these denominations. And what I love is that the Holy Spirit is not bound by denomination. And I see him at work when I was in other, especially other countries of the world. I don't know what it is about Canada, but you go to other countries of the world and it doesn't matter. You go talk to them and they're like, yeah, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're after it every week. Like, I've been to Anglican and Lutheran churches that were more Pentecostal than a lot of Pentecostal churches in Canada, in other countries. They're all in. You know, and because sometimes in our denominations, we put walls up thinking it has to look like this, and it's dangerous. And Pentecostals are no different. We have areas where it's like, okay, this could be strengthened. So I'm not calling all the others out and saying we're perfect. And we have to be careful that we don't look down on others, because if you call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe in him, you're part of the family. Right? So be careful. And in all of this, I just want to say it's important that you do be careful as far as what we believe and what we accept and all those kind of things. But sometimes we just want to shut things down because we don't understand it and we can't control it. So then it must not be God. Or I heard it on YouTube once. Okay, that's dangerous. We're invited into this beautiful kingdom of God. And we're invited to walk in all that he has for us. And many people, even when they sometimes cross that shore, cross that river, they stand on the shore and they never actually go and investigate the land, the promised land that the Lord has given us, the invitation into the kingdom of actually walking with God and co-laboring with him and partnering with him in our life. And we can miss out on so much. Can you just turn to your neighbor today and say, God has more for you? Now turn to your other neighbor and be more convinced. God has more for you. You know that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he talks to him about taking the prophecies and the promises that they've been given, and it's like this picture. We have to fight for them so that they come into our destiny. Don't ever forget this picture that we are called to walk with God, to do things together. There are things in this world that are God's will, that there is nothing that's going to change them, right? There's things that he decides, and nobody and nothing is going to stop him. Like the fact that Jesus is coming back again soon, he knows the time, the hour, the moment, the second that he's coming. There is nothing that's going to stop that and nothing that's going to change that. Jesus is coming soon. But there's also things in this life that God chooses to partner with us. He wants that every person would be saved. Amen? But he wants you and I, he calls you and I to do it with him. So he's waiting for us to go to be witnesses, to go and reach people. And he wants to equip us and give us everything that we need, but he's longing for that partnership with us. So we see a lack of salvation, a lack of harvest in this earth in some places because the church, you and I, not the building, the people, have not partnered with the Lord in putting him first. Sometimes God gives us a prophetic word, and I believe it's actually a real thing, but we sometimes just sit back and think, well, when's it going to happen, God? We don't pray about it. We don't work towards that. We don't change our life in any way. We just think, well, that's a cool idea. Yeah, whenever you want to just magically poof it and make it happen, that'll be awesome. But that's not the picture we have in the Scripture. In the Scripture, he is calling us to go and do the works of Jesus, being equipped through the Holy Spirit to see signs and wonders and miracles happen, to lead people that are lost and help them to be found in Christ. But if it's not you who goes, who will? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an equipping, is a filling, is the Holy Spirit coming on us for boldness. He gives us gifts. It's the pattern that we see that people... That you look at the lives of the apostles and the change from before and after that moment on Pentecost and how the boldness filled them and they couldn't shut up. I have good news that I need to tell you about, and I will not stop, whether you threaten me with death or throw me in jail or whatever you want to do, I need to tell you about Jesus, because he's real and he's alive and he loves you and you need to know him. And they walked in authority and power, and this is, I do believe this, that signs and wonders do back up the gospel, because it's who Jesus was, and it is part of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Sometimes people say, well, I would like some of the gifts. I just don't like all of them. Like, I'd like to prophesy. Tongues is weird. And I would just want to encourage you that, I don't know what it's like at your house at Christmas time. Right now in June, it's birthday month in our house. All three of our kids have a birthday in June. And I love giving gifts to my kids. But if I give one of my kids a $300 gift and a $50 gift, and they don't even want to open the $50 gift because the $300 one is more exciting and worth more to them, I'm a little bit like, hey, I bought this for you, and I want you to enjoy it. And I think God is like that sometimes when we think, well, I just like this one over here. Forget all them other ones. He gave us gifts to be for a reason. And that reason is to build the kingdom of God. It's to help you to do what you're called to do. So why turn our back on some of those things? Every gift that he gives us is significant, and it's an available thing to us. You guys are quiet. A little more recently, since this is the day of Pentecost, we have Azusa Street that happened in the early 1900s. And I just want to read, just share something. I mean, Azusa Street is where our fellowship comes out of, okay? Pentecostals come out of that season where there were people who were hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said, there has to be more. We want to be equipped of all that we see in Scripture. We want to see that happening in our lives. And they began to seek God. And one of the main leaders, one of the main preachers was William Seymour. He was an African-American preacher who showed up in February 1906 and he began to hold services. He started a church and preached about the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. They actually padlocked the doors and wouldn't let him come back to preach again that night. Friends took him to a house on Bonnie Bray Street and began to hold meetings. William Seymour was praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and nobody was. He called for 10 days of fasting and prayer, and then people began to be filled. The group began to increase. People started coming from everywhere, and there was no way of getting near the house. So they moved to another building that was a stable, a 60 by 40 stable, but scores of people came. And as they came, people would fall in prostrate positions before ever making it to the building. And getting up, they would begin to speak in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many people reported falling under the power of God and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues from across the street, listening to Seymour preach. Miracles began breaking out. Many, many, many records of limbs growing where there weren't any before. Multiple times, ears grew out that had been not present on people. The power of God was strong. As people prayed in the Spirit, a literal fire would come out of the roof of the building. Other eyewitnesses talk of seeing a holy glow from several streets away emanating from the building. Others talk about hearing what sounded like explosions that reverberated around the neighborhood. Many times, fire departments were called because of this, and they couldn't actually put out the fire that they would see on the roof. Jeannie Evans Moore, who would become William Seymour's wife, began to play piano and sing in what later was discovered to be Hebrew. Up until this time, she'd never played the piano before, never taken a lesson, and now could play beautifully and for the rest of her life. Frank Bartleman writes that the heavenly choir and hymns sung under the direction of the Holy Spirit were incredible. It was one of the indisputable evidence of the Holy God being present. They would break out in a song they didn't know, but it was all in unison. The whole crowd would sing together. A foreign-born reporter was sent to write on the circus-like behavior, but one night someone stood up and gave a testimony about what happened, and they began to speak in tongues. The reporter sought her out and asked where she learned to speak his native language. And she responded, and she had no clue what she had said, only knew English. And he responded that she had given an accurate and detailed account of the sinful life that he was living, all in his own language. And you can go on and on and on and read about some of the incredible accounts. The point is that when the Holy Spirit moves, and he's coming, like he came in Pentecost, and he's still coming today. And the reason that we have this fellowship is because what have happened in early 1900s when people said, we need to walk in this more. There's what we see in scripture is not happening in our lives. And they began to seek God and hunger for him, and things began to change. And do you know how many hundreds of millions of people have been touched because of that outpouring from there? People began to come. And again, it wasn't about, let's have a cool experience. I have no issue with having wonderful experiences with God and experiencing his love and his presence. I have no issue with just spending time soaking in his presence. But the Holy Spirit was sent to help us to go. And we have to not lose sight of the fact that we are called to go, every single one of us. That's you. And that's me. I really struggle with this in our North American culture because I feel like we all just want to be comfortable. How was church? Oh, it was great. They played the song I liked. Oh, this preacher had a funny, you know, funny joke. No, the point is, it's not about coming to be entertained. It's not about coming to scratch an itch. To say hi to your friends. It's not a social club. This, we gather together to encourage each other, to build each other, because we're called to go. And we need the Holy Spirit to equip us so that we can do it effectively. We spent 9 weeks at the start of the year talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Those fruit, we're fruits without them. We need the fruit to actually be built in us through transforming us from the inside out through him. But it comes with a relationship with him, you guys. We have to be hungry. Like I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but I have sat on the couch at times watching TV or watching a football game or something, and then, you know, I'm a little bit hungry. It's, you can sit there and be like, yeah, I'm hungry. It'd be really nice. Maybe I'll wait and see if my wife comes along and offers to get me a sandwich, you know? And you can sit there and just be at a certain level of hunger, right? Like, yeah, maybe that'll happen. But chances are you're going to sit there for a long time until you finally get hungry enough to get up off the couch and go get some food for yourself, right? My wife's awesome, but she can't read my mind. But until I get to that place where I am hungry, that hunger drives me to do something. And we, many times people say, I want God. I want God. I want more of him. Anybody want more of him? We say that, but what does that look like in your life? What are you saying no to so you can say yes to him? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but every time you talk to anybody, how you doing? Busy. We're all busy. That's our culture today. He has to be first, though, above all the busyness. I'm busy, too. And I'm guilty, too. You can go through a week and be like, wow, my time with the Lord really struggled this week. I prayed a little bit. I read my Bible a little bit, but I didn't really press in like I should have. And let's be honest, if you're waiting like week to week, Sunday to Sunday, or the average they say right now since COVID, the average attendance is like 2 or 3 weeks for most people that call themselves dedicated Christians. That's scary. That's not being committed or connected. But if you're only showing up every 2 or 3 weeks and calling that your main spiritual meal, that's not enough. I don't know if you've ever tried showing up for supper every 2 or 3 weeks. You're hungry. Okay? We need to grow. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. So I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to give you some benefits of speaking in tongues. All right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll be filled with power and boldness to be effective witnesses when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That was what Jesus wanted us to wait for. And so he told his disciples, wait for this. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. He's going to equip you. He's going to fill you. And you're going to go. And that is really what we're after. How many would like a greater heart for the lost? And not just in lip service, but like this is what the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do, is to be effective, to actually be good at reaching people. He's going to lead you. And you trust him when you're filled, and he'll show you what to say and when to say it. That he'll show you things about people and his words of knowledge, right? Being able to recognize things you shouldn't even know in them. I love it when God uses gifts like that in our life. The second thing is we're built up. Jude verse 20, we're actually strengthened. It says, you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You edify yourself. You strengthen yourself when you pray in tongues. That's the beauty of that gift. It's not to show off. 98% of the time, it's for that. There are times where it's used as a prophetic word where you publicly give it and there's interpretation. There's times, and it still happens today. There's many stories with missionaries where they go to other countries and they begin to pray in tongues and they know the language. That happens all the time. But it's not the majority of the time that we use that gift for. The gift is for a personal prayer language for you and the Lord. And it strengthens you. Praying the Spirit builds you up. And again, faith comes by hearing the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us what the word is about. Teaches us what the word says. Amen? So when we spend time praying and talking to the Holy Spirit, he helps the word come alive to us, and we build our faith. We build ourselves up in that. You following me? Okay, third one. The Holy Spirit helps change us and transform us. In Luke 3:17, it talks about chaff being burned by an unquenchable fire. You know who the only unquenchable fire is? Holy Spirit. I like how the Message puts it. I got it up here. It says, John intervened. I'm baptizing you here in the river, the main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep over your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and clean out all the junk in your life. If you'll surrender to him, if you'll invite him in, he is the one who convicts us and says, hey, don't watch that. Hey, that attitude's got to go. Hey, deal with this. And we can either listen or not, because he's gentle with us. But he will be, if you'll invite him, he will help clean up your life. You want to be free from addiction? In fact, somebody in here right now, I just sense this. Somebody's struggling with porn. You want to be free from that? You need the Holy Spirit. You can try and try and try and not look at something and not do something. But when you're addicted to something, you need him. Look at him. Look at the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you. Get your eyes on him and watch how the desire for that junk goes. If you don't believe me, try it. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray the will of God, to draw us into intimacy with him. And so we need the junk that's in our heart and in our life to be gone. And that's why he convicts us of that stuff and helps us get it out the door. Amen? Fourthly, speaking in tongues helps us to actually enter rest. I don't know if you realize that. Paul talks about, when he's talking about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 21, he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I'll speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. And he's quoting Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. And Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12, for that with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you have, which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing. I'm trying to blast through this as quick as I can, but we enter into rest through speaking in tongues. It actually refreshes your soul. Amen? And so it's incredibly important. We live in a new covenant, a covenant of the Holy Spirit. We have access to him. All of history was looking forward to the time when the Holy Spirit would come and fill people and not leave. And we are living in that time today. And we need to engage with that and make use of the benefit, not just stand on the shore of being like, yep, I'm saved, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, that's cool. I wonder what all is out there available to me. No, let's go. Let's experience what he has for us. All right? 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6 says, our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but the Spirit. But the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit wants to give you life, wants to bring refreshing, wants to transform you. All right? The fifth thing, in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 to 7, it talks about how we give thanks. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray and to worship the Lord. Did you know that? Paul talks about singing in the Spirit and singing in understanding and praying in the Spirit and praying with understanding. It's a gift to help us to give thanks well, to praise God well. It's a gift that helps us draw close to him, to pray when we don't know how to pray. It's a gift because we can actually pray the will of God when we don't know what to pray. We can sing his heart. Paul would switch between his native tongue and speaking in tongues. He would do both. And I think it's for all of us to do the same thing. If you're a believer in Jesus, this gift is available. It's a huge tool to deepen our prayer life. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Amen? So if it helps us give thanks, we should use it. Ephesians 5:19, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to worship him. If you struggle with connecting with God, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. All right, Romans 5:5, Holy Spirit pours the love of the Father into our hearts. So praying in the Spirit brings a greater awareness of his perfect, unfailing, unconditional love for you and I. How many could use a little help of knowing how much we're loved? I don't know about you, but I never get tired of knowing how much he loves me. And it's got to go from this here to here. You got to make the journey. All right? And the last one I'll give you is Ephesians 6:18. Paul, after telling people to put on the full armor of God to be able to stand strong, says, pray in the Spirit when you feel like it, once in a while, at all times. At all times. All right? This is a gift for us to be able to stand strong, to withstand the temptation and attack of the enemy. It helps us putting on the armor of God, and it helps us stay connected to Him. Let me end with this one last thought here. Is the baptism in the Holy Spirit a one-time thing? Last week I talked about some of the other questions that people sometimes have, like, am I going to lose control? You know, and remember that the gift of the Spirit is self-control. So you won't lose control, but you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't force you or take over, or you don't black out, you don't talk to demons. There's all kinds of crazy things out there that people have taught and believed, and that's just simply not true. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you, to fill you and equip you to go and to speak and to use this language. And the second thing, yeah, is being baptized in the Holy Spirit a one-time thing? This in Ephesians 5, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual. If you look at the Greek, at the what is meant there, it's this continual being filled. You and I are invited to come and be filled over and over and over again. You know why? Because we leak. Because when we actually live for God, when we're face all the stuff that the world throws at us, we lose our connection with Him, right? Because the world, our culture, everything is, we're soaking in things from TV or the music we listen to, and our spirit is under attack. And we need that constant connection with Him. I don't know about you. Maybe that's why that we're called, that God created us to have to drink 8 glasses of water every day. Anybody ever get tired of hearing you're supposed to drink more water? You know? And have you ever noticed that the water you drank 3 days ago wasn't enough to help you today on a hot, sweaty day? Right? You need to continually drink. We are designed that way. And I think it's a picture of how the Holy Spirit has designed us to drink from Him. All the time. Continuously. We are called to continuously be filled, to spend time with Him. And just a simple example, Acts chapter 4. This is after Pentecost. The disciples have been under pressure, persecution. Acts chapter 4, it says, now, O Lord, hear our threats. They're praying. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs, wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd just been filled at Pentecost. Now they're being filled again. Why? Because He comes on us and equips us for today. And He helps us to go. And so we just continually keep asking, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me again. I need you. And it's okay to ask Him for another encounter today. Just because you had another one yesterday, that's cool. Just because some of you experienced Him last week, that's wonderful. There's more today. He never runs out. God does things, I would say this many times, in a typical way. But there's also times, because He's God, He can do things in an atypical way, right? Most of the time, people receive salvation because somebody like you or I goes and shares the good news with them. Sometimes they have an experience like Saul, where a bright light comes and knocks them off their horse going down a road. That's not the typical way, but it can happen, all right? Typically with tongues, people come and lay hands on you, and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the initial evidence, as we see in Scripture, the pattern in Acts 2, in Acts 8, in Acts 19, and we see in Acts 10, even with Cornelius, and the people there, when they received the Lord, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. Gift. And it's for us. But you know what? I was a young kid, and I prayed and asked for it because I'd seen and heard my mom pray in tongues. I was lying in bed. Nobody put their hands on me and prayed. I asked, and I received. And I began to speak in tongues. So just because it's typically done one way doesn't mean that it's restricted to that. I want to just invite, Juan, would you come and just play something? I actually asked the youth, a few of the youth from last week that were up and got prayed for, and I would like, you know, some other help from you guys too, those I talked to, if you guys could come. And I just want to open the altar this morning before we go downstairs to just give you an opportunity again to receive. And this is a free gift that the Lord wants to give you to be equipped, be filled, be effective at living the Christian life for Him. And if you've been like, yeah, I've been there, done that before, great. Why don't you just come receive again? And I just, when I was praying last night, I just felt like there was two things the Holy Spirit really wants to do this morning. He wants some of you to be filled because you've never experienced this before. You've got fear and you've got doubt and you wonder if it's real. But he wants to fill you so that you can be more successful and more fruitful in your life. And secondly, I felt like he wants to impart to some people today their calling. He wants to show you what he made you for. He wants to show you maybe something for the next season. But I would like to invite you to come and receive prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you.